Good morning. Annyeong haseyo. If you're visiting for the first time, you're most welcome. This service will be led by Ken Bartlett. And we thank you and we look forward to your words. Our 11:30 all age worship will include communion, and at the 6:30 there will be our reflective service. Pastoral news. Phil Thompson continues to remain in hospital. Dave Richards remains unwell at home. The alternative Christmas card starts today, and you will find a pack in your copy of Church News. If you do not find one, or you get Church News via email, then there are spare copies at the back of the church. And my visual aid is here. It looks like this. From next week, there will be a collection point in the hall for labels and donations. As you may know, we are planning to run an Emmaus course, probably starting in February. If you would like to know more about the background of the course, which has been run successfully in other churches for many years, look at the first booklet and give your input to Christine Thompson during and after coffee on the 2nd and 16th of November. The Acorn Project are planning a sharing of ideas session on Saturday, the 15th of November, between 10 and noon. The next knitting session will be in 2 Wednesdays' time. And finally, Liz Bartlett would like to say something.
Hello, there are a few music matters to share. The really exciting thing is that the first recital in what we hope will become a series of recitals is going to be given on Thursday the 20th of November, that's really quite soon, at 12:30 in the middle of the day, and it's going to be given by Soo Hee and her duet playing partner Paul Tame, and they're going to do the Mother Goose Suite, and I understand it's going to have a narrator this time, so you'll know what the story is happening all through, and a piece by Rachmaninoff, so that's something to look forward to. And the aim now is to use the piano to raise some money for the church, so I hope we're going to get lots of support. It's a wonderful opportunity both to give to the church, to invite friends in, to have the public coming, to open the doors to the public. So let's try and make this first one a real success. There are leaflets around, and it will be fully publicised. There's a concert coming up from the Kingston Third Age Orchestra in the newly refurbished parish church, which some of us were at last night. It's looking wonderful. The acoustic is absolutely magnificent. So the Third Age Orchestra are going to be giving a concert there at the very end of November, Saturday the 29th in the afternoon. And I'm pleased to say that Sojin, who I don't see, but we know Sojin because she plays the cello in the played in the concert and sometimes plays in church. She has joined the orchestra and she's helping to lead the cello section, so that's a lovely thing. We'd really appreciate your support. And finally, there are CDs available now of the concert. Sue and John Watts recorded the wonderful concert we had in September, and there are 2 CDs of the concert. They're going to be £8, and I'm sure lots of people have already asked for them. Would you please give your orders to John or Sue, then they'll know how many to produce, and they should be out in 2 or 3 weeks. Thank you.
Good morning, everybody. We begin our service by saying part of a psalm together, which will be projected on the screen. I will say I don't know what the colour is, and my wife and I always dispute colours anyhow, so I won't take a risk. But the first sentence I will say, and then we continue responsively. The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense. Will you sit and we'll join to pray? This prayer is one comes from Rabindranath Tagore, and this is what he prayed. When the heart is hard and parched up, come upon me with a shower of mercy. When grace is lost from life, come with a burst of song. When tumultuous work raises its din on all sides, shutting me out from beyond, come to me, my Lord of silence, with thy peace and rest. When my beggarly heart sits crouched, shut in a corner, break open the door, my King, and come with the ceremony of a king. When desire blinds the mind with delusion and dust, O thou Holy One, thou Wakeful One, come with thy light and thy thunder. Have mercy on me, O God, in your constant love. In the fullness of your mercy, blot out my offenses. Wash away all my guilt and cleanse me from my sin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Give me the joy of your help again, and strengthen me with a willing spirit. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We join in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. As we forgive those who trespass against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We join to sing. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Jean Thompson is going to read our first lesson.
Deuteronomy 34. The death of Moses. Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of Mount Pisgah, east of Jericho, and there the Lord showed him the whole land, the territory of Gilead, as far north as the town of Dan, the entire territory of Naphtali, the territories of Ephraim and Manasseh, the territory of Judah, as far west as the Mediterranean Sea, the southern part of Judah, and the plain that reaches from Zoar to Jericho, the city of palm trees. Then the Lord said to Moses, "This is the land that I promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob I would give to their descendants. I have let you see it, but I will not let you go there." So Moses, the Lord's servant, died there in the land of Moab, as the Lord had said he would. The Lord buried him in a valley in Moab, opposite the town of Beth Peor. But to this day, no one knows the exact place of his burial. Moses was 120 years old when he died. He was as strong as ever, and his eyesight was still good. The people of Israel mourned him for 30 days in the plains of Moab. Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with wisdom because Moses had appointed him to be his successor. The people of Israel obeyed Joshua and kept the commandments that the Lord had given them through Moses. There has never been a prophet in Israel like Moses. The Lord spoke with him face to face. No other prophet has ever done miracles and wonders like those that the Lord sent Moses to perform against the king of Egypt, his officials, and the entire country. No other prophet has been able to do the great and terrifying things that Moses did in the sight of all Israel. Amen.
A number of us have been collecting gifts in shoeboxes, and Peter Ashdown is now going to say something about the project and give an opportunity for people who still have not placed the shoeboxes on the barricade, which is hemming me in here, to do so. So, Peter.
Good morning. I want to start by saying thank you to all the people who bought shoeboxes and those that are still to come. And of course, if you've had any fallen coins, collected those in the little box as well. So these will all go out to Romania, Bulgaria and Ukraine, where people are in great need, and I'll show you some pictures of these in a moment. So, Linked to Hope worked with Pastor Cornell, who was their chauffeur, guide and interpreter on this trip to Romania, accompanied by his daughter. And he had given up... Sorry, I got my pages wrong. I'm terribly sorry. And he had given up a successful business career to help the truly dispossessed. And this is them meeting the group as they arrive and thanking Link for Hope for bringing the parcels. This little girl looks warm and happy in a woolly jumper, holding a box. But her mother, who is both caring and very loving, is sadly both deaf and mute. The family live in terrible conditions in the slum, and the children went around barefoot in sub-zero conditions for much of the time. This man at 71 was ancient by local standards. He lived in a hut 6 foot by 3, the size of a single bed. His home was just made of sawn off branches and mud. Inside, dirty clothes and rags in one corner and some filthy blankets on his bed in the other. Inside the box given to him was a wind-up torch. They showed him how to use it, and he was quite overcome. He laid it carefully on his bed, the most precious thing he had to him, and he ran up to his hut. That's his hut that he lives in. They drove down to some houses for an elderly lady, Filoka. She welcomed them in, and when she had been given the box, told them how she had stood in the church and prayed for reading glasses. Amazingly, she opened the box, and there was a just out of prison after serving 2 years for taking a small amount of wood from a tree, which he denied, his wife had left him and he had nothing. He was so happy to receive a wind-up radio in his box, and they showed him how to use it. This picture shows a loving family with the mother cradling her one-week-old baby. Just 4 years ago, Pastor Carnell found them them drunk in their shack, with the children hungry outside in the freezing cold, wearing just shirts, no undercoats or shoes. With Cast of Carnell's help and guidance, the father, Kovac, had built a house for his family, and they now have a horse and a cow. And this is Kovac. He wears the tie that was in the box, and he refused to take it off. This man looks well dressed, but his clothes are filthy, and the room defied description. Never before had they seen mankind reduced to such extremities, and he cried with happiness when he opened his box. You can see the dust and the mess on the floor. It's terrible. Another day, they drove out to some families living in the hills along almost impassable tracks. People came out from the freezing afternoon air to greet them, and this old lady was very proud of the boy who now lived with her after spending the first few years in an orphanage. And they were delighted and surprised to receive shoeboxes filled with, to them, undreamt of luxuries. I imagine that's probably a lavender sachet that she's smelling. And this lady lived in a dark one-room home, very cold, and she was wrapped in layers of grimy clothes with nowhere to wash them. Colourful wall hangings actually covered the mud walls behind. This boy of about 8 years old was holding his shoebox. She went over to him and asked him and talked to him. He said he was really hoping for a pair of gloves because his hands were so cold. They checked the customs list and there were gloves and scarf. And he was delighted when he opened his box and put on the gloves straight away. Right. At the next house, a dejected looking elderly man with Parkinson's disease hobbled out of the broken door. Inside, his sick wife lays permanently in bed. He was so pleased to be given a box that he went straight back inside to show his wife. The last few words from the Link of Hope people making these deliveries. For some of these poor folk, the dawn of a new day brings little hope and nothing more than unwanted troubles of yesterday. Where will the food and the wood come that they need to feed and help warm their families? Life has been reduced to nothing more than survival. Theirs is a genuine struggle. Most of us will thankfully never and should never experience. So thank you, and thank you for all the goods that we've got here.
Peter, thank you very much indeed. Are there any shoeboxes which people want to present? In which case, now is the time to bring them forward. Jean, will you help as well?
Just say that Rosemary has just mentioned to me that she will still be doing boxes during next week. If people would like to, you know, now think about it and perhaps do one, she's still, you know, able to help you do a box. And also she's still collecting the old clothes for people to go, warm clothes, not your old clothes, warm clothes. And the bags are in the Mayo Hall on the table there. If you can just fill a bag with your warm clothes. Okay, thank you very much.
Also, it also gives me the opportunity to make the obvious point that this program doesn't work without somebody dealing with the administration. And Peter and Jean do the administration, and Rosemary, who used to run the whole thing, still does quite a lot as well. So that's great. we join to sing at the hymn For the Healing of the Nations. Second readings are going to be read to us by Olive Springham.
The first reading from Thessalonians and the second from the Gospel of Matthew. Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. The wicked one. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together with him, I beg you, my brothers and sisters, not to be so easily confused in your thinking or upset by the claim that the day of the Lord has come. Perhaps it is thought that we said this while prophesying or preaching, or that we wrote it in a letter. Do not let anyone deceive you in any way, for the day will not come until the final rebellion takes place and the wicked one appears, who is destined for hell. He will oppose every so-called god or object of worship and will put himself above them all. He will even go in and sit down in God's temple and claim to be God. Don't you remember? I told you all this while I was with you. Yet there is something that keeps this from happening now, and you know what it is. At the proper time, then, the wicked one will appear, The mysterious wickedness is already at work. But what is going to happen will not happen until the one who holds it back is taken out of the way. Then the wicked one will be revealed. But when the Lord Jesus comes, he will kill him with the breath from his mouth and destroy him with his dazzling presence. The second lesson is from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. The Great Commandment. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they came together, and one of them, a teacher of the law, tried to trap him with a question. "Teacher," he asked, "which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the most important commandment. The second most important commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The whole law of Moses and the teaching of the prophets depend on these two commandments." Amen.
Two weeks ago, Liz and I joined a number of long-standing friends to celebrate a golden wedding. Most of the people there had got to know each other as members of Notting Hill Methodist Church in the mid-60s. It was a remarkable time. Donald, later Lord Soper, had established a group team of three inspirational ministers to welcome the West Indians who had come to London to run the trains and the buses. Most of them were Christian, but the local churches did not welcome them, fearing that they would put off their existing members. So Notting Hill Methodist membership, which welcomed them, was predominantly black, and we concentrated on how to work out the Word of God in an unjust society, where the key issues were racism, police prejudice, violent landlords, absence of child